Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Just so you know, that wasn't my mistake. I just want everybody to know that was not my mistake. We're going to blame Leslie for that. She gets in such a rant and such a rage sometimes. She doesn't know which button she's pushing, and it's all worked up. So, there you go. If we can only control Leslie, we'll try and do a better job. Anyway, so welcome to the Sunday morning wake-up call. We will be talking politics today. Politics. In fact, we're going to be talking politics in terms of the upcoming Super Tuesday primaries. Going to be talking about the presidential primaries overall, with an emphasis on the Democratic presidential primaries of 2016. Just so everybody knows, we did try and have representatives from both of the Democratic presidential primaries in here. We attempted to have a guest from the Hillary Clinton campaign. I made an effort by calling the Charlottesville Democratic Party. You go to their webpage, look up Charlottesville Democrats, send them an email, and it comes back unable to be delivered. Called the phone number, and I didn't get any response. I went to the Albemarle Democrats, and they said politely, you know, we're not in a position where we can send someone just from the Clinton campaign, because at this point we're supporting both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton until there's a clear winner. That seemed fair to me. And the Albemarle Democrat Party pushed me along the way towards the Virginia office of Hillary for America. Thank you for the support, Albemarle Democrats. And then I received help from the Virginia office of Hillary for America. And in the end, they were unable to send somebody, but they did promise help in the future. So there is no representative from the Hillary Clinton campaign here today. We do, however, have a representative from the Bernie Sanders campaign. So if you see us or hear us talking a little bit more about Bernie Sanders today, that's why. Our guest today in the studio, David Repass, Professor Emeritus from the University of Connecticut, Department of Political Science. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And thank you for taking the time to come. You were just over in Stanton-Waynesboro area last week, correct?
Correct, last Thursday night.
Trying to convince people to vote for Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
Is that what you're going to do here today?
Yes.
Yes. We're also going to take a little wider view of things as well. We're going to talk about Super Tuesday, the presidential election as a whole. This is the Sunday morning wake-up call with David Repass. Thank you for tuning in again. Our guest today, David Repass, representing the Bernie Sanders campaign. He does have a history of political science, being a professor emeritus from the University of Connecticut. We'll take calls later in the day. We don't usually do that, although this is a call-in show. With a history of the program in the last 6 months or so, I've sort of been getting a feel for the board and the guests in this new station. WPVC 284-9470 is the number. Stretch out the fingers, 284-9470. We'll take calls later if you'd like to call in. Professor, you were interested in the name of the program, Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, because you said you need to give a wake-up call to the establishment.
Exactly. I'm going to project to November election, get out my crystal ball, and try to take current survey information and project it into November. And the first thing I see is that if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic candidate, she will probably not be able to defeat Trump. In other words, Trump has a very good chance of defeating Hillary. On the other hand, Sanders is very likely to beat Trump. In a recent Quinnipiac poll, Sanders was 6 points ahead of Trump when the matchup was made, and Clinton was only 1 point ahead of Trump, and that's just dangerously close. So there is the real possibility that Trump will be able to win the presidency if Clinton is his opponent. The other thing is, and this is very fundamental to our whole democratic process today, is that if no Democratic president will be able to get anything through Congress. I've asked people to name anything from 2010, that's 5-6 years ago, that has passed Congress, any major piece of legislation that has gotten past Congress. And indeed, we have today a Supreme Court vacancy which will not be filled because of obstinacy in Congress. The Republicans can have so many ways that they can block legislation, and that's what they've been doing for years, and we don't seem to recognize that that is happening. The ways they do this is, first of all, the so-called filibuster. It's not a filibuster. Nobody ever gets up and talks. It is simply if 41 senators do not want a bill, all they have to do is go to the majority leader and say, we're going to oppose it, and the majority leader does not bring it up on the floor of the Senate. Also, there's the gerrymander. In 2010, there was a census, and districts were redrawn, mostly by Republican legislatures in various states. And so the House of Representatives does not represent the country. We've had a president elected twice by majorities, but the House of Representatives does not represent that majority. So that's another block. But one of the things that people are not aware of is the very strict party discipline that the House leader imposes on the members of the House. Any Republican who steps out of line and even thinks of voting with the Democrats will be faced with a primary. And that primary will be funded by unlimited money, which is available thanks to the Supreme Court decision in the case that allowed anybody to spend any amount of money, including corporations. So all Republican Congress people are under this threat of being primaried, and they toe the line. And indeed, in order to get this majority, the House Speaker has to also cater to the 40 Tea Party people. To make his majority, he has to have those 40 votes. So they pull him over further to the right in order for him to keep his strict thing. Anyway, in this process, there is no room for compromise, even on small matters, because the party has control. The party says the Republican Party can stop anything and will not even consider things. And then finally, they have the coup de grace. They'll close down the government if they don't get their way. That's a very serious set of problems. I have been threatening to write to my students who have taught for many years American government and tell them, forget everything you learn. It's not that way anymore. It's a very serious problem. So Hillary won't be able to get anything through either.
So what you're saying is that for the argument that All right, so let me back up. Are you telling us that the argument that Sanders won't be able to get anything done is moot because Hillary Clinton won't be able to get anything done either?
Okay.
Or are you telling me that Hillary Clinton can't win and therefore vote for Bernie Sanders?
Well, there are two different aspects of this. First of all is the actual election, okay, in November. And what I'm saying is that maybe the Republican or the Democratic Party might think twice about not supporting Sanders. Certainly the superdelegates.
So I'd rather have...
So that's one issue. Now, let's assume that Hillary does get elected. Okay, I forgot to bring that assumption in. She will not be able to get anything through. But Sanders, as you may have noticed, calls his campaign a revolution. And he realizes that he will not be able to get anything through Congress unless he has the people behind him. And he will have. You see this army of volunteers.
But we had that in 2008.
Yes, but Obama did not do anything.
Because that, they wouldn't let him do anything. Because he's got the same problem that you're talking about now.
Yeah, but what Sanders is talking about is something new. We didn't have a revolution in 2008.
Please, sir, in 2008... No one expect. We got more people on the street. The 2008 campaign for President Obama, and I don't want to get off track because what we're talking about here today should be the 2016 campaign and Bernie Sanders. But the 2008 campaign revolutionized the way that they got votes to the voting poll.
Yes, that was, well,
they get more people out than had happened in decades.
I agree. That was a movement.
The whole name of the campaign was Hope. If that's not revolutionary, what is?
Well, let me explain what Bernie Sanders means by revolution, okay? Bernie Sanders would use his popularity with this very dedicated millions of people to put pressure on Congress from the outside. You can't bargain within this process, as I've said. So you have to attack from the outside. And one of the ways he would do this is, first of all, keep these people aware of what was happening. Obama has given virtually no bully pulpit talks to the people. He's given numerous speeches. He has lectured us, but he hasn't talked with us. He hasn't explained the problems he's having with Congress. He has not kept up with that huge following he had. And that is, I just cannot understand why he's never used the bully pulpit. Ronald Reagan had many talks with the American public, and he was able to get through things like Star Wars, for crying out loud. He was able to rally the people behind him because he explained what he was trying to do. Obama never even explained Obamacare.
So 2016, in November, so we have a couple different options. So what I heard and confirmed that I'm right was that number one is that we have Sanders as the Democratic option.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins.
Mm-hmm.
But inside Washington, D.C., nothing gets done.
But he puts pressure on Congress by telling the people, here's what they're doing to block what I'm trying to get. He takes an issue at a time and tries to get that through. I can also see a number of million people marches on the Washington Mall. Bernie often talks about Mitch McConnell looking out the window and seeing these masses of people. At least Sanders would try. Obama has let Congress run over him, frankly. Maybe in the extreme, but he has not fought back.
I think there's a large percentage of Americans who would say that what they voted for in 2008 has not happened.
Right.
The hope that was given to them in 2008 has not come forth. I would agree with that. Our guest here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, this is WPVC 94.7, our guest David Repass, Professor Emeritus and a representative of the Bernie Sanders campaign here in Virginia. We're talking about the upcoming Super Tuesday primary here in Virginia. Presidential election as a whole. We'll be getting into some specifics about the Sanders campaign, pros and a couple questions about why and some explanations. I have no idea what time it is. Time goes quickly when you're having fun. I see about quarter after the hour here on a pretty Sunday morning. So the upcoming November. So the challenge that I'm hearing from you is let's put Bernie Sanders and give him a chance.
Exactly.
For all the language that's being put forth about it's not going to happen, nothing good, you know, he may be full of ideas, but none of those ideas will come true. You're saying you're not even giving it a try.
Well, he will give it a very serious try using all the powers of the presidency. Obama did not use the powers of the presidency. Again, the bully pulpit, he finally realized, and of course, his first several years, he thought he could get along. Why can't we all get along? Let's bargain, so forth. He tried that for years. He finally woke up. This was after the Mitch McConnell said, you're going to first in his first term, you're going to be a first one-term president. The very night that Obama won the election in 2008, the Republicans were meeting, planning on how they were going to block everything he was going to do.
Right. That was what they said in their meeting was, we're going to say no to everything.
Exactly. And Obama did not fight back. He did not prepare a health care bill that was his. Ironically, it was named after him after it passed, but he did not prepare it. He did not lead it through.
Well, let's talk about Sanders and less about Obama.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that for Bernie Sanders as president, if to make some of these issues that he puts forth, what's the webpage? It's issuesberniesanders.com.
Right,
is that right?
Yeah.
If you go to the Bernie Sanders page, you get forth, let's please donate to our page. You need to go to the issues Bernie Sanders page to see what we're talking about today. To have people march on Washington, what comes to mind for me is the Million Man March, the Martin Luther King March. Those are African Americans. Those are folks who at this point are not supporting Bernie Sanders, right?
Well, but the same pressure, the same technique, why not have that for all Americans?
Hey, I'm for it, but am I wrong in saying, or how wrong am I? Let me ask you that. How wrong am I in the fact that 50-age white folks like myself aren't known for marching in large groups on Washington, D.C.?
But you don't know the Bernie Sanders supporters. You don't know their energy. You don't know their enthusiasm.
I'm looking at one now.
But there are hundreds of us. There are thousands of us across the country, many thousands. How in the world do you think Bernie has been able to raise all the money he has without from people? People don't give up money. They would give up, many of them would give up their time to go to Washington. It's just an incredible, different situation now. Obama took money from He raised a lot of money from individuals, a lot of it, but he also raised a lot from hedge fund operators.
So, if what's needed to turn the tide on Washington, the folks who have the votes are the individual people to march and tell our representatives, our senators, what we want. Pick an issue. Just one issue. Pick one issue for me.
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage. We want minimum wage to increase. It's important. And so millions of people march on Washington, D.C. to tell the representatives and the senators, this is important. This is what we want. We need you to change your vote to make this happen. How does that overcome the 100 people, the 250 businesses that are pledging their finances to those people who are doing the voting?
Well, this may, you would have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting. I don't think any one march would do it.
Okay.
But a series of marches, a series. I mean, I can see Bernie. And this is what Reagan did. He's told people, contact your congressman. I can see a barrage of emails and tweets and all of that going to congressmen. I don't. That may not change them. But they are at least going not going to be able to say anymore, we're representing the majority. They say that all the time. They could not possibly say that. And let me let your example of the Million Man March and Martin Luther King is a very good example. In just at the beginning of 1960s, there were some people who had dreams. Black community had dreams, and Martin Luther King in particular. And they, among other things, had this march, but they did a lot of other very important things. But by 1964, in 4 years, they had the Civil Rights Act, and a year later, the Voting Rights Act. You can pressure Congress.
I don't know if it's the most important thing. I will say, in my belief, it's one of the two or three most important things to make change happen. We must fix gerrymandering.
Yes.
I think that will actually lead to more change.
Well, it has to be a combination of the four things I mentioned.
All right, 11:21 here in the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, a great supporter of Bernie Sanders, David Repass, professor emeritus from the University of Connecticut, teacher of political science at the University of Connecticut, doing his thing today, teaching us a little bit about presidential election upcoming, Bernie Sanders campaign. You're welcome to call in and ask some questions or make some comments if you'd like, 284-9470 here on 94.7.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, heating oil and propane for your home or business, and the award-winning Markets of Tiger Fuel, with six area locations.
And back in action today here, Sunday morning. It's a beautiful Sunday outside. I hope you're enjoying the weather. Forecast, I believe, is an early March snow on Friday. So enjoy the Sunday while you can. All right. So if you call, use your patience. But we'd love to hear from you. So back to our guest, David Repass. David, so tell me a little bit about why you prefer Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's got to be more to it than just, I think he can win and she can't.
Oh, no. That's, in fact, most people don't think he can win. So he has just so many issues that he is obviously resonating with a lot of people. He has overflow crowds every place he goes. But on the issues, minimum wage, which is currently a starvation wage. Child care is unaffordable for a great many people. Many were thrown off the welfare rolls under Bill Clinton, and they were not given any support to support their children. Incredible. So that's another thing, child care. Family leave. If you have a child and you're a working mother, you go back to work in a couple of days and you can't bond with your children or your newborn. Millions of children go hungry each night. They go to bed hungry. That's incredible in a nation such as ours. Roads and bridges are crumbling. Global warming must be stopped. We've seen the evidence of that already in droughts and floods and rising coastal waters. That has to take action now, or it's going to be too late. That's blocked. Everything on that score is blocked. The Republicans, many of them don't even believe there is global warming. Banks must be broken up. They were too big to fail in 2008. 208, and they are even bigger now. Hillary will not go the extra mile of actually breaking them up. The president of the Minnesota Federal Reserve has come out very strongly in favor of breaking them up. He was there in Washington when the crash occurred in 08, and he is scared to death that it could happen again. And the only way to prevent it from happening again is to break up these banks before it happens. Because once it happens, it's going to hit all of them at once. College education, I think everybody knows that Bernie wants public education for 4 years.
Stop there for a second. how do we as a country give everyone who wants it free college education, free tuition? How do we afford to do that? Who pays for it? How do the colleges remain? I mean, we have the University of Virginia right here. Who pays for each student to go to the University of Virginia while the university remains a functional school that still builds new buildings, still pays great professors, et cetera?
Well, Bernie has proposed that, of course, his major theme in his campaign is that money has flowed up to a very tiny number of people who have gained millions and millions and billions of dollars over the last 30 years. And the Republicans refuse to even tax them. They can help support our country, and the country has been pretty good to them. So Bernie has proposed that there be more taxes on, I believe, on hedge funds operations. And in other words, we have to ask the very wealthiest to give their fair share. If that kind of money we're talking about in this wealthy small segment is beyond imagination. Some of that could go to help everybody get a college education.
We do seem to be a country, not entirely, granted, because you obviously aren't. Bernie Sanders is not. I like to think that I'm not. Of greedy people. That's the goal, is to earn as much money as possible. That's the problem with the folks at the top of the large businesses. is to make as much money. Don't tax my money. I need more money. I don't want to give up money for you to give it to people who are the poor, the tired, the hungry. Stop. Don't take it away from me. I don't care if you're spending it on people to go to college.
Let me talk about a recent article I've written using survey data to find out what the ideological composition of the American public is. A lot of the published work so far and a lot of what we hear about the distribution of liberals and conservatives and so forth in this country is really very badly measured and so forth. So anyway, I looked at what people actually believe, look at their belief systems. What kinds of beliefs do they put together that form this what's called a belief system, which is also known as an ideology? And these questions emerged that 47%, nearly half of the public, agreed with these beliefs. They believe that we need a strong government to handle today's complex economic problems, and that there are more things the government should be doing, and the government has become bigger because problems we face have become bigger. They believe government in Washington should see to it that every person has a job and a good standard of living, and that government should provide many more services than even if it means increasing spending. They would like to increase spending on public schools, welfare, child care, aid to the poor, aid to the homeless, and environmental protection. They believe in giving everyone an equal chance. That is a 47% of the public. Now, the percent of conservatives, very right-wing conservatives, who have the opposite views to all of those, who don't believe in government and don't believe we should help people, is 20%. Now, they have dominated the airways. They have dominated, they of course have dominated the Republican Party. And but to answer your question, there are a whole lot of people in this country who would have feelings of helping others and believe that government should be doing things.
11:32 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, David Repass, professor emeritus from the University of Connecticut, former teacher of political science, current representative of the Bernie Sanders campaign here in the state of Virginia. We did ask a representative from the Hillary Clinton campaign to join us, unable to do so. We'll have someone in the future, hopefully. You are welcome to call in, ask a question, make a comment today, 284-9470, 284-9470 here on WPVC, Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. David, I want to know, one of the issues is to get the big money out of politics. You hear that from many people, whether it's the individuals like you and me, whether it's the campaign, the Bernie Sanders campaign. How do you do that? Because it seems as though the big money, obviously Bernie Sanders is not taking money, not taking large amounts of money. He makes note of that on his donation page. He says it in his many speeches, but it's a disease. And don't you have to completely kill the disease and therefore take all these people out of Washington, D.C., and whether it's all those who are running and all those who have their ear as well, and fully remove them and start over again?
Well, of course, one of the sources of the pressure on Congress is what is called K Street, all of the wealthy companies and so forth that hire lobbyists and who swarm the halls of Congress. In fact, they sit in and several of them write the legislation. There's not really much you can do about that, except that maybe make these congressmen listen to the people, as I've suggested, and Bernie would make them listen to the people, and the people would make them listen to the people to counter their, you know, their private views. But the overall in campaign finance, well, first of all, one would have to try to undo this crazy decision in Citizens United that money is speech. Yeah, I mean, the Supreme Court is supposed to go by the letter of the law of the Constitution. I don't see anywhere in the Constitution where it says money is speech. That has to be overturned with clever lawyers and so forth. There should be a way to approach the Supreme Court just as...
Yeah, but in 40 years, 72, 20... those who are opposed have been unable to overturn Roe v. Wade with two good cracks at it. They've been unable to overturn Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. It took 50 plus years to overturn, to make any damage into the Voting Rights Act. And Citizens United has only been around for less than 10 years.
Oh, it might take a long time. It took, we had this awful decision back in 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson, where the court says that the separate is equal. How long did it take to the Citizens Board of Education? It took 50 years to get that overturned, and then after it was overturned, it was resisted, and so forth. No, you have to be patient. You have, especially with the Supreme Court, but you have to have an objective, and that is to try to work on ways in which good lawyering, constitutional lawyers, get together and really form a rationale for undoing that awful decision. In the meantime, candidates can take the example of Bernie Sanders and not accept their money. That they can do any day in the week. Of course, they would have to be popular enough to get contributions from individuals, but maybe it might be nice if we had candidates who were that popular.
He has done very well in the popularity kind of, yeah. And he's done quite well with the young demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know why that is?
There was a rally for Bernie yesterday, and one of the speakers was a student from UVA. And she said, students, of course, are very concerned with the loan situation and what they're going to be saddled with the rest of their lives, maybe. But she also talked about her parents who were struggling to make mortgage payments. And as Bernie keeps saying, you know, we've had stagnant wages for so long. And then she talked about her grandmother, who is having trouble surviving on Social Security. And this is another thing that Bernie keeps talking about. So the young people have kind of a triple reason for supporting him. And also, he's authentic. It's not bullshit. And young people particularly appreciate people who are straightforward and honest. There's going to be plenty of time in their life to get used to the, shall we say, less clear-cut people. So that explains a lot of it.
Here we are today with David Repass, representing the Bernie Sanders campaign here in the state of Virginia. Sunday Morning Wake Up Call did reach out and search for folks from the Hillary Clinton campaign, and we could not find someone willing to come on the show today. We'll continue and ask others in the future. 11:39. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, heating oil and propane for your home or business, and the award-winning Markets of Tiger Fuel, with 6 area locations.
All right. Thank you for listening today. This is WPVC, one of the news stations in town. Does that make you one of the new listeners to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call? You're welcome to dial us up, 284-9470. 284-9470. Our guest, David Repass, talking about the Democratic presidential primary of 2016. David, Super Tuesday coming up. A lot of people might not have ever voted in a primary, but there's really no difference between a primary vote and a presidential election vote, correct?
Or a nominating vote. No, just go to your usual polling place, assuming you're registered, and you can take either a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. You don't have to do more than that in declaring your temporary affiliation, but you don't have to be registered as a Republican or a Democrat because Virginia doesn't have registration by party.
They did. Did they change that law? Didn't they have a law until recently that said if you vote Republican now, you must vote Republican, or that, you know, you were declaring by UVA honor code that if you voted Republican in the primary that you were going to vote Republican in the national election?
Absolutely not. The Democratic Party as a party did the nominations back when I first came to Charlottesville. The nominations were done within the party. It was called a mass meeting. People there, in order to participate in the mass meeting, they had to sign that they intended to vote for the Democratic nominee. They could change their mind. Nobody would ever know. But that's the only pledge situation that existed. This presidential primary is being run I don't know whether the state or the parties, but it's open to everybody, and anybody can have any views. They can change their mind up to the last minute, whatever.
Let's talk about some of the more national presidential issues, Republican and Democratic, for a few moments. Do you think that Hillary Clinton has been picked on with her issues in terms of having her own computer server with her emails, et cetera? Has she answered that issue and the Republican Congress is overly berating her?
I'll take the Bernie Sanders position on this. It's a kind of a non-issue. I do think it reflects on her judgment, why she ever decided when she first became Secretary of State to have a private server was perhaps something that wasn't too wise. but otherwise, there are so many important issues that we need to discuss.
Do you think that John Kasich from the GOP group, do you think that he is holding things up from the, quote, establishment beating Donald Trump? That if he left the group, he's ended his run, that somebody else, Rubio, I assume, could actually beat Trump?
Well, I don't think Kasich is drawing enough votes to help that much, but Kasich is the only, shall I say, traditional Republican in the race. To say that Rubio is an establishment Republican is perfect nonsense. There was a Paul Krugman editorial on this a week ago. He is as far right as any of the other candidates, and they frankly do not represent a large number of conservatives. That is an extreme position that they take. So there are no moderate Republicans left except Kasich. If he drops out, that's the last voice the shall we say, sensible middle Republicans have.
And not that my voice matters in this, but I've been saying that for months now. That Kasich was the only one of sensibility who could beat anyone, but that the GOP had caused their own problems by making Obamacare such an evilish empire problem that because he extended Medicaid in Ohio, and therefore in some way that was approving Obamacare, that they couldn't even look at him politely.
Right.
And so therefore they had to set him aside, couldn't give him a pat on the back, couldn't do anything nice for him, and so they must ignore him. And so even though he could do positive things for the GOP, he might be able to beat Trump and Cruz if given a handshake, they have to ignore him, and now he's a horrible group of people.
We have gotten some people with ideological blinders on.
Could you explain the idea of a brokered convention? Because we keep hearing that that may be what happens for the GOP. I guess it might also happen for the Democratic Party. But can you explain the idea of a brokered convention?
Well, if no candidate has a majority of delegates going into the convention.
Do you have to have a majority or a certain percentage?
I believe it's a majority.
Okay.
This has never happened, of course, but it's usually a majority and or very close to it. But anyway, if that's the case, then all bets are off. The candidates or the party officials or something get in the back rooms and go back to the old-fashioned convention where the deals were made as to who is going to get the nomination. That is a case where the Republicans may be able to rescue their party.
Their party can't be rescued. All right, again, our guest today, David Repass, representing the Bernie Sanders campaign here in the state of Virginia, joining us on WPVC 94.7.
Let me add one more thing about the brokered convention. After March 15th, all of the Republican primaries changed the rules so that the person who gets a plurality in a state, all of the delegates go to that person. So with Trump leading in most of these contests, he would get all of the delegates from those states so that Rubio can't remember the other guy.
Cruz
would be not get any more delegates after the 15th.
But up until March 15th, everybody gets a percentage of whatever was in the vote.
Right, but roughly, especially in the Democratic Party. Yeah.
But March 16th on, if you win the state, even if you don't get, you don't have to get 50% or more, you just have to be number one, and then you get all that state's delegates. Is that was one of the questions I have. Is the current calendar for what we're doing with the primaries, are you okay with that? In a variety of ways, there's a handful of questions here, and I'll toss them all out at once, and then we can go through it. People talk about, is Iowa okay being number one because it's a white, strong Christian background? And then we go to New Hampshire, where, again, it's a strong white base. And then we go down to South Carolina and Nevada. And now we've had four states vote, and in some ways, I mean, the GOP, which wasn't long ago, we had 16 people on the stage, and we've only had four states vote, and we're now we're talking that there's really only three people left. Where does the calendar work well?
Well, this new rule I just talked about after the 15th was put in to try to correct something that happened in 2012, but I'm not sure what it was. And by the way, one has to expect that Bernie Sanders is going to have some bad nights on March 1st, because it's also known as the Super Tuesday, but also the SEC set of primaries.
Several states similar to South Carolina.
Yeah, they're
just
very
crushed 3-1, pretty much 75 to 25%.
Yeah. Although there is probably no state as similar to South Carolina with 62% black. I mean, that's really overwhelming. But the point is that, well, there are very, my study that I cited, there are very few liberals in the South. And therefore, Bernie is not going to do too well in the most of the Super Tuesday states. But there is Massachusetts, there's Minnesota, there's Colorado, possibly Oklahoma, and of course, Vermont.
Maine.
No, that comes later.
Comes later.
But Bernie should be able to do well, certainly in Minnesota and in Massachusetts. Hopefully Colorado and there's hope out of Oklahoma. But remember, as you said, there have been four primaries, four states. And we're already talking about people dropping. Well, and people have dropped out on the Republican side. But they're talking about Bernie possibly dropping out. On CNN last night, it was ridiculous. We are in the second inning of a nine-inning baseball game, if you use the analogy. And if the other side hits a home run, are we going to pack up and go home? I mean, Bernie is not going to quit. So, but he's also going to have some bad days from the southern states. But after that, there's the rest of the country. There's all of the West Coast, et cetera, et cetera. So as Yogi Berra once said, it's not over until it's over.
On the issues, again, issues, Bernie Sanders is the page to go to look at a lot of the topics that candidate Bernie Sanders is discussing. It has a conversation about why they are important, why you should feel that they're important, you, the listener today. And there's a whole section on how they should be paid for, because Bernie Sanders regularly gets bashed for his topics being financially inviolable. One of the topics is how to improve the rural economy. Can you talk about that?
Rural?
Yes. It's one of the pages on there is how to improve the rural economy. I don't know if that's something that you're prepared to talk about today.
As I'm
sort of walking out the door this morning, I noticed that was on there, and it made me think that I have some friends down in the southern part of Albemarle County who, you know, and that would be the rural economy. Because that was the opposite to one of the other issues is, you know, when you, and you mentioned this earlier about a lot of the topics that he talks about, Bernie Sanders, is infrastructure. There's the living wage, and there's the social issues, and then there's infrastructure.
Mm.
You know, and I don't think that anybody who's driven across, who's driven I-95 and crossed several states would argue that the infrastructure needs to be repaired. But I don't see any conversation there about cyberstructure? Where are we with protection of the grid? Where are we with protection of hacking from other countries in terms of technology? Have we heard any information from Bernie Sanders about who he would use as support for his his colleagues and who he would bring onto his staff?
No, not on that issue.
Or any issues?
Well, that, I mean, it would be a little premature to start talking about your cabinet before you've even been nominated.
But who are his closest allies?
For a long time, it was Bernie
Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Let's go.
Yes, right. But remember, Obama really was very new in the Senate and then takes on the presidency. Once you become president, you look around and tap skilled people. And I can imagine a lot of very skilled people would be very happy to work for Bernie Sanders.
Should Hillary Clinton release those transcripts?
Oh, the talks to the Wall Street organizations? I certainly think Bernie's correct on that. His position is if you have gotten $650,000 for a speech, that maybe there's something in there that's worth everybody seeing.
And her argument back is?
Well, obviously she doesn't want to show them because it will probably show that she was very supportive of Goldman Sachs.
How about tax returns? Should every candidate, because... I believe that Donald Trump has not.
No, and he certainly should. I mean, it is imperative that the person who is claiming to be such an honest, straightforward businessman be able to show his taxes.
Again, our guest today, David Repass, he's the professor emeritus from the University of Connecticut Department of Political Science, also representative of the Virginia Bernie Sanders campaign. We did invite folks from the Hillary Clinton campaign to join us today, but without success. 11:56 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. Just a few moments left with David. I'm curious, David. You mentioned the four big issues at the start of the program.
Well, these are rules and regulations and procedures in the Congress.
Are these things that you expect to happen in a short time frame or in a much longer arc?
You could get rid of the so-called filibuster at the beginning of any session of the Senate.
How did that change anyway? It used to be there's the old movie. Yeah, you had to stand there and pee in your pants if you wanted to keep going.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, James Stewart. Yes.
And now you just have to sign a piece
all
of
you
paper.
Have to say, you just have to say you're going to. Yes, I mean, this is a real change in the real filibuster. You go back to the real filibuster by changing the rules back to where they were. That's simple, a simple fact. You can change those back if you have the will. But this was tried back at the beginning of the Congress, the Senate that started in 2010, and a group of senators tried to get this pulled back, and they weren't successful because the party leaders wanted to continue to have the power to veto anything that comes along. So we have both parties with this position that they want to be in a able to veto the majority at any time they want.
Well, so how do you get them to change it? Because if you're in charge,
well, for one thing,
you're the group who has to change it.
If one thing, Barack Obama had brought Harry Reid into his office and said, "Look, Harry, you got to change this. This is not right," and he did this publicly, you would have a very different result.
All right. 30 seconds left. Your expected outcome of Super Tuesday in Virginia?
I think the election here will be very close. I don't expect a win for Bernie, but he should be able to pick up a lot of delegates.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us today. Right. And I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, by the way. Not that I think. And so if you're out there listening, two people here pushing you to vote for Bernie Sanders. All right. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.